This is Stateside. I'm April Bear. I know there was snow on the ground this week, but if you could just ignore what's happening outside your window and focus on the calendar for a moment, spring has officially sprung in Michigan. For some of us, we know that not from the calendar, but from our itchy eyes and runny noses. Whether you're experiencing allergy symptoms for the first time, or you feel like your normal allergies are coming back with a vengeance, you may be wondering, why? Dr. Kathleen Doss is an allergist, immunologist, and medical director with the Michigan Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology Center in Oak Park. She's joining us today to tell more about why seasonal issues are rearing their heads so hard this year. Dr. Doss, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
So this week, I woke up to all the snow and a banging head. First of all, how do we know if we're having allergies or sinus problems or both?
That's a great question. So with allergies, you'll typically see like itchy or red, watery eyes, runny nose. With sinus issues, you may have stuffy nose, which can also be seen with allergies. With sinus disease, though, you may also have more of a sinus pressure or headache or even loss of smell, which doesn't always necessarily mean COVID-19. But they often go hand in hand and sometimes they're separate. If you have a fever, it's probably more likely to be a sinus infection than it is seasonal allergies, though.
Of course, many folks have never had any allergy symptoms before. If you do find in the course of a season that you're suddenly sneezing every 5 minutes, is it possible for a person to become allergic to pollen?
Yes, it can happen at any age. We have allergies that peak throughout our lives. So there are different decades where you may be more prone than others, but it's very common. And right now, what we're seeing is that environmental allergens are increasing, especially in the Midwest and the state of Texas randomly. That seems to be our path, but we've reached record levels that we've never reached before, which could also be a reason why some people are being sensitized to these pollens when they weren't sensitized before.
Texas? What's that about?
I'm not sure why specifically the state of Texas, though they do have a really high amount of cedar trees, and it's so severe when the cedar is pollinating that it's called cedar fever, and it's something that all allergists know about regardless of where they live in the country. But the Midwest is especially being hit hard, and part of it really seems to be that we're having these increased temperatures, increased carbon dioxide. So pollen is starting earlier than usual, and it's lasting a lot longer. So it's typically starting 20 to 30 days prior to when the season usually starts, and it's lasting anywhere from 8 to 20 days after the season usually ends. So then we're having overlapping pollens that normally wouldn't be there when the other pollen is already starting.
Is there consensus among allergists about whether climate change definitely has something to do with this?
That seems to be the suspicion, especially just with, as I said, the rising temperatures. There's been a noted increase in humidity and increased in carbon dioxide. That seems to be affecting the way different plants are pollinating. So that really does seem to be leading to an increase in symptoms.
Are there ways in which the pandemic is interacting with allergies this year? What I mean by that is we're spending a lot more time indoors than outdoors, generally speaking. Maybe there are overlapping symptoms, do you think, for indoor and outdoor allergies? What do you think?
Yes, absolutely. And that is also contributing a large amount. So we've spent so much more time indoors, and dust mite and pet allergens and cockroaches are actually things that are more prevalent indoors. So normally we get a break, we'll travel from one building to another, or we'll take a walk. But because we've been indoors for such a significant amount of time, we've had a lot more dust mite exposure than we're normally used to. If you have a pet allergy and you have that pet, you're not having respite and decreasing that exposure, say, by going to work. And with cockroach droppings, those can be anywhere. But again, if they're in your home and you're not able to get them cleaned because you can't really be allowing people into your home, it's just creating a recipe for disaster where we have these record levels of outdoor pollens outside and mold, and then indoor you're having increased dust mite or pet exposure.
You know, I sometimes wonder if what we experience is less an increased sensitivity to allergens, but more awareness and treatment of allergens. But hearing you talk like this, I think it's definitely the kind of year when it's more about the allergens than the treatment.
I think it's a little of both, truthfully, because our allergies negatively affect our quality of life. So if you're uncomfortable and you're sneezing or you're carrying around Kleenex, it's already not fun. If you add to the fact that with the pandemic, if you sneeze in public, everyone stops and looks at you, or if you cough in public, people start worrying that you're exposing them to COVID. And also, allergy cells have a circadian rhythm that's opposite ours. So they tend to be more active in the evening when we're trying to sleep. So if you're having really active allergy symptoms and it's triggering your asthma or your eczema or other allergic skin conditions, you also now have a disrupted sleep. So some of it is awareness, but some of it is it really does negatively affect your quality of life if left untreated.
What kinds of things do you recommend to your patients to mitigate symptoms? Is, you know, the go-to still just a lot of Zyrtec, or is there anything else that you recommend?
There's a lot of things that you can do at home that aren't even medication-wise, or things you can do for yourself. So one thing is, if you're someone who likes to exercise outdoors, really trying to avoid peak allergen hours, and that changes from season to season. But right now, say with trees, they like to pollinate early morning or early evening. So if you're able to, taking your walk in the afternoon would be helpful. Showering before you go into your bedroom will be helpful, or specifically into your bed. If you have carpeting, making sure that you're vacuuming at least once a week will help get rid of the dust mites. Or if you have pillows or mattress, getting dust mite covers can also help with the dust exposure. If you are allergic to your pet, you can do things like try to train your pet to stay outside the bedroom and not allowing them on your bed, so that that is an environmental allergen-free zone. But there are other things that are out there that didn't exist even 20 years ago. So if you have comorbid eczema or hives or swelling episodes or asthma, so we have these specific biologic therapies which don't suppress your immune system. And while they're not on label approved for allergies, by improving your other allergic diseases, your seasonal allergies do tend to improve. So it's not always necessarily just take the Zyrtec, which will only, by the way, treat for today, no preventative effects for tomorrow. But there are, even if you have a busy schedule and shots are not an option, some of these things can be done at home in terms of the biologic therapy. But there is also treatment approved by the FDA that you can do at home, where it's an under-the-tongue tablet approved for grass and ragweed and dust. So there are so many more treatment options that we have, so you don't have to live in misery.
It sounds like it can be a full-time job staying on top of this stuff.
Sometimes it can be, but as you get better, you can take things off. So I always tell my patients that my goal for them is that they won't need my help for years and years and years. The goal is always to get patients to feel as well as they can with the least amount of medication, because a lot of, again, these allergic patients are also dealing with other comorbid conditions like asthma, which is an additional inhaler or tablet, or eczema, where you're balancing your skincare and various creams. So the goal is really to try to streamline based on what you're allergic to, which an allergist can help you identify, and then streamline that treatment. And as you improve, you can take things off. And it really is a good day when you wake up and your nose isn't congested, or you don't have headaches, or you're not trying to scratch your skin off.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, in this week of the unofficial American Cannabis Holiday 420, about an article that you posted this week about allergies to cannabis.
Yes.
How heartbreaking. Can a person be allergic to weed?
They can be allergic to weed. I've actually had a couple of patients who've come to see me about this. So it can present very similarly to seasonal allergies. So, or if you have a food allergy where you have the exposure, so you have exposure to the cannabis, and then you develop a stuffy nose or runny nose, itchy eyes, itching of your skin, or trouble breathing. So it is possible, and unfortunately, strict avoidance really is the best way if you're developing those symptoms. It's been reported to develop anaphylaxis. So anaphylaxis is when you can have a life-threatening condition. And like a food allergy, you don't know if one time it will actually be the time where it can kill you. So no one should have to die because of a cannabis allergy.
Oh, the humanity. Well, thank you for the warning. And thank you for telling us a little bit more about what all the sniffling's about. Dr. Kathleen Doss is an allergist and medical director of Michigan Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology Center. It's in Oak Park. Kathleen, it's been great talking to you.
Thank you. It was very nice talking to you, too. I hope you have a good rest of the day.